The number of ships through the Bering Strait grew by more than 100% between 2008 and 2012, according to the U.S. Coast Guard. As nations attempt to stake claims for rich Arctic resources, the U.S. currently has little presence there. The Coast Guard has only two icebreakers capable of operating in the region. One of those cutters, the Polar Star, is back in service after a major rebuild, KTOO's Rosemarie Alexander reports.
Several staggered metal ladders aft the bridge go straight up to a perch called the Aloft Conning Station.
We have a 360 view that allows us to pick a good way through the ice.
Kenneth Boda is executive officer aboard the Coast Guard heavy icebreaker Polar Star. It's his third icebreaker tour.
Typically when you are an icebreaker, you don't want to break ice. You want to avoid ice as much as possible. So you look for the open water leads, and being up there allows you to pick the path of least resistance.
On the Polar Star, the Aloft Con is 110 feet above waterline.
Most of the time in the ice, you're driving from there.
Polar Star Commanding Officer George Palisier led the rebuilt ship through recent Arctic ice trials and will take it to Antarctica this winter. The icebreaker's primary mission there is to resupply McMurdo Station, the largest U.S. research station at the South Pole, and the logistics center for other Antarctic facilities. Palisier says two-thirds of the job is transit time. Then there's the ice.
You have to break a channel through the fast ice, which is ice that's attached to the land, and then you have to make a channel straight enough and wide enough to get a container ship and a tanker in. I've seen it as much as 85 miles of ice and as little as 12.
The upcoming Antarctic trip, called the Deep Freeze Mission, will be the first in recent years for a U.S. icebreaker. The Coast Guard has had to lease Swedish and Russian icebreakers. With only one heavy and one medium icebreaker in the Coast Guard fleet,
there's no bench strength, shall we say.
The latest Arctic region study prepared for the Coast Guard indicates the need for three medium and three heavy icebreakers to fulfill U.S. statutory duties in the polar regions. The Arctic poses the most immediate challenge. The Coast Guard is responsible for law enforcement, search and rescue, security, and environmental protection, where many nations want to drill, mine, fish, and tour. The icebreakers are also scientific research platforms. U.S. Homeland Security expects 1 million adventure tourists could visit the Arctic this year. Other nations have government and commercial icebreakers operating in the region year-round.
As we come up through the Bering Strait and then we head off to the west, all along the north coast of Russia, that's already a viable route. And that's where you find a large number of Russia's icebreakers actually plying that route to keep it open.
As the ice diminishes, ships will find it easier going through the Chukchi and Beaufort Seas to the Northwest Passage, linking the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans. Commander Palisier points to the region on a large map in his Polar Star office.
If the ice continues to recede, which most of your scientists are predicting it will, then that route will also become much, much more viable in the future, pretty much cutting through all the small little islands up in the northern part of Canada, and then down through the Labrador Sea down to the east coast.
The new national security cutters are the core of the Coast Guard fleet. Despite their versatility, they can't cut ice.
They have a very limited window of time they can operate, particularly up in the North Bering and beyond, whereas the icebreakers, particularly our heavy icebreakers, can stay up there year-round.
Multiple studies indicate the U.S. needs a year-round presence in the Arctic, and existing icebreaker capacity is not enough. Even with additional non-ice cutters and aircraft, more operating locations, and improved communication and navigation systems. In Juneau, I'm Rosemarie Alexander.